Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today I am here with Dr. Jillian Simpson, and we're going to talk about radical self-care, reclaiming your right to embodied wholeness. Super excited to jump into this topic today. You are listening to Creating Wellness from Within, a podcast devoted to helping you live your best life through self-care and wellness. In each episode, we strive to offer you actionable advice and tools to help you on your journey towards greater personal wellness. I am your host, Amy Zellmer. I am editor-in-chief of Midwest Yoga and Life magazine and author of the Chair Yoga Pocket Guide, available on Amazon. I am passionate about yoga, wellness, photography, travel, and all things glittery. You can learn more about me at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com. Today, my guest is Dr. Jillian Simpson, and she is a feminist psychologist, a coach, an ERYT 500 trained yoga teacher, and a professional troublemaker. She is also a trauma survivor, a highly sensitive human, a mama, and a recovering perfectionist and people pleaser. She earned a doctorate in counseling psychology from the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota and possesses over 20 years of clinical mental health experience, helping a diverse range of humans rise above all manners of trauma, tragedy, addiction, and affliction. Her superpower is seeing human potential, and she is passionate about co-creating spaces of belonging where humans feel safe to show up real. She is the founder of Velveteen Alchemy, a feminist psychology coaching practice aimed at eliminating unnecessary suffering and helping us embody our wholeness. She also recently launched Hot Mess Yoga Club, a feminist-centric yoga community supporting all humans in all bodies reclaim their sacred wild. Welcome to the podcast, Jillian. So happy to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm really excited to be talking about radical self-care and, you know, reclaiming your right to embodied wholeness. So tell me a little bit about what that actually means to you, reclaiming your right to embodied wholeness.
Yeah. So, well, let me back up a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about feminist psychology and some of the traditions I come from theoretically. So feminist psychology, it takes a stance that it looks at systems of oppression and layers and systems within our culture that impact mental health issues. And so it's very much taking a critical look at the traditional medical model of mental disease and being able to take a step outside of that and look at, you know, we're feeling sick because we live in a sick culture and a society, as opposed to it's something inherently wrong with us. And so most of my professional career, I worked one-on-one in individual therapy with folks, and time and time and time again, people feel like this is the only place that I can have a real conversation and feel like I can be my real whole self. And then just feeling chronic isolation that, you know, that they're in community with various people in their life, but they all kind of feel like they can't share fully who they are. That wouldn't be accepted and supported. And so it's really been a passion of mine to help people kind of take a step back and see all of these other things that are impacting us and causing us to not feel good on our insides beyond there's just some like moral, like mental defect within us, within like traditional psychology. Mm-hmm. It's not that far away from like being locked up in asylums and like very scary things that have happened in the name of help that can actually do more harm. And so I'm really passionate about helping people take a look at self-care in their life and being really strategic with what's actually working. Like, where's the evidence-based approaches integrated in things like more restorative, gentle yoga, as opposed to high intensity, hot yoga, yoga nidra, and, you know, certainly trauma sensitive yoga, breath work, meditation is all really a lot of great research backed evidence behind it now that is really key to helping us feel better on our insides. And so helping people figure that out for them and what fits for them within, you know, very busy lives and schedules. We don't have to take on hours and hours and hours of self-care. Sometimes it's just slight tweaks, but mm-hmm. we sometimes need a little bit of help getting there. So that's where I help out folks.
Yeah. And, you know, radical self-care, right? What does that mean to you?
Yeah. So that comes from, so Audre Lorde, there's some really beautiful work that's been done in feminist multicultural theorists. So the feminist movement was very white to begin with and right. eliminated, you know, different bodies and ethnic presentations, things like that, that really there's been more movement with various folks like Bell Hooks and Audre Lorde who've really stepped in and talked about, okay, it's not just gender is oppressive. It's, you know, these multi-layers of oppression and really thinking about like intersectional feminism with that. And so I bring up Audre Lorde in particular because she has a quote about radical self-care that says that radical self-care is an act of, political warfare.
It's an act of
political warfare. Yeah. And which is a very strong word and kind of jarring to me as yogi types, but really just like staking the claim that we deserve to care for our bodies as they are and that we're, you know, already whole. I think a lot of our wellness industry is built upon like, let's, you know, poke on people's pain points and then step in and like make these sweeping promises of what we're going to fix for them. And it can be really exploitative and not a feel good experience.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about the feminist movement was very white and
for sure.
Wasn't it actually, and I might be totally making this up in my head, but wasn't it actually started by some Black women, but then the white women took over?
Sounds about
kinda,
right.
Yeah.
And then
I think that kind of left people of color behind it may or may not have been intentional, but that's like what happened. Yeah.
So I think, you know, for me, it's really important. And I think there's a lot of other folks who have since integrated in, you know, these various voices within feminism that feels a lot more inclusive. And I think a common misconception people have when they think about feminism or feminist psychology is that it only applies to women. Mm-hmm. And it's really similar to yoga, actually. The philosophy of like gender presentation is, you know, we all have aspects that, you know, are traditionally more masculine or feminine within us. And then our society, like historically, has really prioritized, you know, people presenting with more masculine traits. And so, you know, that affects all gender presentations in terms of feeling like, you know, typically I tended to work with more highly sensitive men. And, you know, those who have a lot more emotionality that they don't feel like, what do I do with this in this culture? And then, helping women similarly kind of get out of their own conditioning and things and step in and take more active roles in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think there's also a misconception that feminism is man bashing.
For sure. Yes. Yes.
And not really.
We're just like angry.
Yes. They think we're very angry.
And we were also supposed to be like very masculine looking. Like I think there's also that stereotype and, I think it's really fun that pop culture be what it is. I think even just like the success of the Barbie movie and having feminism can be shown to be something that's girly or that, you know, doesn't have to be like the stereotypical, I don't know, angry feminist kind of vibe.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I remember like when Ocean's 8 came out. With like Sandra Bullock and it's an all female cast and everybody was kind of like, oh, it's not going to be good. You know, like they kind of just poo pooed it right away because it was an all female cast. And I thought it was great. I loved it. You know, but it just goes to show like, and then there was something about like an all female cast can never make a superhero movie. And it's like, but why? women in it, like, particularly moms are kind of superheroes to begin with.
Yeah. Right. No, absolutely. I think
without actual superpowers.
Right. Well, and I think we're seeing a lot more female storytellers and a lot more like directors and artists who we're finally getting to see airtime of different ways of storytelling. And I think it's profoundly different. You know, mm-hmm. we see a lot more complexity in relationships, and we're attending to all these things that, you know, are invisible to kind of the larger culture in terms of emotional labor. So, yeah, I think it's a really beautiful time. Certainly we need, you know, to make a lot more progress, but I think there's some really exciting developments in terms of our culture waking up to some of these principles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, going back to self-care and just the concept of radical self-care, and I feel like even just the term self-care turns off a lot of people. There's like, oh, I don't have time for that. And, you know, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of misconception that self-care yes. is like, it costs money, like getting your hair
it's going
done,
to
or
get
getting
your nails,
nails
done.
Yeah. Yeah. Or going to the spa. And it's like, well, that can be self-care, mm-hmm. but like, you do not have to pay for self-care. Self-care right. can be like, taking a pause, mm-hmm. like say you get an angry email from someone, yeah. you know, yeah. it's taking that pause, walking away for 5 minutes, maybe taking some breaths, drinking yes. some water or yes. tea and, yeah. and then coming back to like, that's self-care.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and I think, I don't know. I think it's also kind of like, there's this idea that you like, do self-care to escape from your life. Like you have to go somewhere else to do it, as opposed right. to like, can your self-care actually support you in being more present in your life? And like, how do you fit it in to all the things? I mean, I was like, I used to see, you know, clients back to back to back all week, full time. And I was doing a lot of forward folds in between sessions and like, just bringing, you know, these small ways to shift your energy and ground yourself. I personally have been practicing, because I worked in like high intensity hustle culture for many years in my career, and then it's not sustainable.
Right.
And then, you know, I had my whole burnout story, and then was able to kind of like take a look back at how do I want to work differently and still help people.
Mm-hmm. And I think in your case, you know, you're a highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
And yeah. as highly sensitive people, we tend to take on other people's emotions.
Totally. Yes.
Like there's ways to learn how to protect ourselves from doing that. And that yes. itself is self-care too.
Yes. Yes.
But when you are a sensitive person working with folks who are dealing with their own trauma, right? Like that's,
yeah.
that's what you do as yeah. a counselor or psychologist,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And it's essential to have a self-care routine. Right. And you know, what are some ways you practice self-care? You know, you just mentioned forward folds.
Yeah. So it's been interesting. So I ended up going through a really big transition this last year. I went through a divorce in my family, and I'm a newly single mom and managing a house all by myself. And so it's been an interesting year of trying to figure out, and my mm-hmm. schedule is really funky. Like I have, my kids have time where it's like really intense, high intense. I call it canned soup parenting. Canned soup parenting. It's like really intense. And then it's like quiet. And I have this big open space when they're not here. So it's like constantly been trying to figure out like, what does self-care look like now? And how is that different? And one thing that I've been practicing recently, so thinking about gender-related tasks, like a lot of the stuff I'm working on for building my Hot Mess Yoga Club yoga studio it's very like tedious computer work and very like masculine businessy mind stuff. And because I've been spending so much energy on that, I haven't really like been able to sit and enjoy like the more feminine creativity aspects of the way that I like to work. I'm very artistic. And so one of the things I love to do is make collages out of scraps of newspapers and magazines. And similar to how I work with people, I love finding beauty in things that other people discard and like reworking it. So lately I've been intentionally, this is a new thing, but it's worked a little bit, taking out like some chunks of time in my day, a couple days a week, but to be able to like, no, you're not doing anything, but just like creating art on this canvas. It doesn't have to look any certain way, which is hard mm-hmm. for a perfectionist like me who are working on that. But like to just give myself the gift to like, just be in the flow of it. Like that really helped me kind of find a better balance. Trying to think. So I think, a lot of times I'll use, like sensory deprivation, not in like an extreme way, but we have like I don't know. I feel like a lot of times we have the TV on or the radio and it's like, yeah, we never can like step back and find stillness. And it's really kind of an epidemic in our culture now. We can't like be anywhere without our phones. And so
yeah,
I'm really intentional about, not all the time. Sometimes you need to have fun tunes in the car, but like turning it off and having that space and stillness to reset. And, you know, we need that break from all that high intensity stimulation to get our, like our dopamine system is so funky now. Like we are just constantly like getting these little dopamine hits through our phone. And it's really hard to break that and take a step back. But I mean, even just taking a pause on a given day, you can go out later on a nature walk and notice like, wow, I'm actually noticing these deeper things that I wouldn't have had I, you know, been looking on my phone, walking around. And it's, yeah, it's just finding small ways to do it. So one of the other fun things I started doing is teaching half hour classes on Zoom in the mornings for yoga, just very gentle. And the thing that's been really neat about that is to see how just like this brief half hour has really made an impact in my students' lives and me too. I mean, one of the reasons why I started teaching in the morning is I wake up and that's like my least mental health well moment of the day.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, like, can I show up and be present with other people? And we're going to do this thing together. And like, I'll probably be grumpy, like not on camera, but like leading up to like getting ready to teach some mornings, I'll be grumpy about it. And then by the time I'm done teaching, it's like, oh, like I feel alive again. And that's been cool to be able to see how, you know, it both benefits, you know, me as the teacher and what I'm doing. And then also like how small little aspects of self-care can really make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And little things can add up. And, you know, like I think I said earlier, it doesn't have to be a whole day or a half day. It can literally be 5 minutes here and there when you have time.
Yes. Yeah. And so I think stepping back to the title of what we're speaking on today, embodied wholeness. So I think, well, one, I went to school for psychology for way too many years. And a lot of that is like very cognitive and like being in your head. And you know, being a trauma survivor, highly sensitive, I have spent most of my life trying not to feel all the intensity in my little body, you know? And so like how learning how to be comfortable in my own skin has been a lifelong thing. That I think it deeply, and you know, I share what I found has worked, not just with me, but with, you know, countless people, that's important to me, that it comes from a place where I'm not just like making up some nonsense out there, but like we're really grounded in the truth and the evidence of what works. And again, yeah, I love what you pointed out. It's the simplest things that sometimes are the most profound impact. Mm-hmm. Like we think we have to go to some elaborate fancy retreat, or even as like yoga facilitators, like, oh, we have to teach a really elaborate, cool class. But it's like just getting people to slow down and breathe and be on their mats and gently moving, however that is like, that's the magic. And showing up with each other, I think that's so therapeutic too, in terms of creating a space where there's belonging.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, self-care looks different for everybody, right? Like what works for you might not work for me, and I might enjoy something else. You know, you talked about sensory deprivation, and I do a lot of road trips, and people are always like, oh, what do you listen to, you know, when you're driving? And I'm like, usually nothing. Like, ooh. I love just driving in silence, and like, because I think in day-to-day life, there's always so much stimulation, you know, that it's absolutely just like, that's probably my favorite part of the road trip, is just listening to nothing. And that's when I have like some of the best ideas come into my head and,
you know,
just reflection. And, and don't get me wrong, sometimes I do like the radio on, or I like to listen to an audiobook. Particularly
I'm a big podcast girl, but like you need to sometimes like not have the word, like you need less words coming at you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I definitely like on a road trip, I'll probably listen to one audiobook. And then the rest of the time is usually just silence. And it's so peaceful. And people are like, oh my God, like, how do you do that? Like that would drive me crazy. It's like, well, maybe sometimes you need to get out of your comfort zone.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, especially being highly sensitive, it's like I think a lot of times people don't like the stillness because they become present with like all the chaos inside. Like we start listening to all of like the thoughts jumping around and the things in our body that aren't feeling comfortable. And that like people like just shut down and want to run out the door when that shows up. But a lot of times what I like helping people with is understanding that a lot of that noise isn't us. Like if there's just chatter going on that's negative, that's fixated on, you know, performance, our appearance, all of these other things, and is very self-critical or doesn't feel good to us, that's not inherently something that we were born with. Like that is something that we've imbued from the outside. And so part of, you know, and feminist psychology talks a lot about internalized oppression. And that's one of the big ways that shows up is we think like this voice on the inside is us. And yet it really, like, if you give yourself that time and space to settle, that kind of dissipates. And then you're left with this really authentic, like deeper connection with yourself. If you like take the time to stick with it, but it's scary. You know, and it's
interesting in my adult life, like just in the past few years, I have had more and more friends say, I think I have ADD. And it's really fascinating because like if you didn't have ADD prior in life, it's not ADD. But like if you did exhibit that your whole life, then perhaps it is. But like if it's something new, that's not ADD. That's
our culture is like induced in many of us. Like
that's it's where constant. I was going with that. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have diagnosed ADHD and I actually was diagnosed as an adult, but like, it's a very different entity. And I had, you know, if you look back, it was my whole life. I've had a neurodiverse brain.
Right.
But yeah,
I signs think, all along. Right.
But yeah, it's like the inability. I mean, I think, you know, it's interesting the power of yoga in particular and helping us learn how to be still. And, usually like, you know, a lot of times by the end of a yoga class, when you're resting in Shavasana, like that's the time that's like the stillness and the beauty and the things that have that can come out from a deeper space within us. And I was thinking about how so at our yoga conference last year, the Minnesota Yoga Conference, I went on a break after taking some morning classes there, and there was this huge line at a restaurant, and it was like I'd wait like 35 minutes in a fast casual line. It was just absurd, and I was stressful, whatever. But I just noticed I stood there in line, like just chilling out, didn't look at my phone, nothing for the whole time. And I was like, wow, look at you, yoga. Right. Like, and it's like, oh yeah, duly noted. Like, again, I think many of us healers and teachers, like how often are we taking time for our own practice and not just facilitating?
Yeah.
But it was also, but then I literally looked and every single freaking human in that line was on their phones the whole time.
Yep. Yep. And I just read a really fascinating article, how our phones and social media have really ruined our attention spans.
Oh yeah.
And how people don't take the time to actually read anything longer anymore. And like snippets, you know, I have noticed this as a magazine owner, people are not reading the requirements for submitting things. And it's right there in black and white, completely bullet pointed. And people are just completely disregarding it. And it was fascinating to read this article and how like people need super short nuggets. Like they can't, they can't ingest anything bigger than that anymore. And like going back to what I said earlier about this, like ADD epidemic.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's self-induced in some ways.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And not to like discount true neurodivergent folks. Like I know it absolutely exists, but like,
but we're all becoming more and more so, and the culture is not helping. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Right.
And it's just kind of fascinating. We're moving really quickly. And, you know, I think it's showing up as a lot of anxiety and depression in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's just this urgency too. Like we're out, like we always are feeling like we're running late, we're running behind and we're rushing to things. Yeah. And just reminding people, I taught class this morning on Zoom and reminding people that like, we like to think that slowing down like slows us down and we get less done. But like, if we actually can carve out those small moments to find stillness, like we become much more productive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, productivity is messy. I think we live in like a productivity, like obsessed culture, and part of self-care also is, you know, we don't have to have like be achieving something in our self-care. Like you don't have to be like stretching or deepening or like perpetual self, like self-help junkies. I've like been that my whole life, you know, like we're constantly wanting to improve, but like, where can we start with self-acceptance, self-compassion, and maybe we're working on things too, but yeah, I think there's an energy about that that we have to watch out for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jillian, this has been a wonderful conversation. I want to take a moment to just mention your website and how people can find you and connect with you. So wherever you are listening, in the show notes, you should have a clickable link to Jillian's website, velveteenalchemy.com. But tell us a little bit more about what people can find there and working with you. Yeah,
so velveteenalchemy.com is my primary individual website where I offer feminist-based coaching and private yoga, trauma-sensitive yoga services. And then I recently launched Hot Mess Yoga Club, which is a new yoga studio that we do some in person, but a lot of virtual on Zoom. And that website's still under construction, but is coming soon. So Hot Mess Yoga Club will probably also be a great spot to find more info. But that's more group-based self-care. And then if you're wanting to work individually with me, that's a great spot to find me on Velveteen Alchemy. And yeah, there's exciting things coming in terms of building community and finding ways that we can connect and have deeper, real conversations with each other.
Wonderful. Well, Jillian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. This was great.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you are listening to help others on their wellness journey discover this podcast. And be sure to head over to MidwestYogaLife.com and get on our mailing list to stay in the know of local events, the upcoming yoga conference, and so much more. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting it through buymeacoffee.com/AmyZ. Thank you all so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.